I know some of us have been in the Christmas season and spirit since well before Thanksgiving. In our Yukon, our vehicle, we've got a DVD player in there, and the kids like to have DVDs all the time, and we've been playing the movie Elf constantly. Elf is probably in my top three of favorite Christmas movies. It's about a guy named Buddy the Elf who was raised by Santa's elves in Santa's workshop, and he thinks that he's an elf. He acts like an elf, even though he's a full-grown human being. And one day when he is helping his adopted elf father, his father works on Santa's sleigh. And there's a problem with Santa's sleigh. And the problem is that Santa's sleigh can't fly on its own anymore. The reindeer don't have power to fly the sleigh by itself anymore, so Santa's elf has to put a jet engine on it in order to get enough power. And the reason we find out that Santa's sleigh and the reindeer can't fly anymore is because the belief throughout the world in Santa is at an all-time low. People simply don't have faith in Santa Claus anymore. There's a crisis of faith in Santa, a crisis of belief. In our story from Habakkuk and in the prophet of Habakkuk, even though he's a prophet and a man of God, a man who talks with the Lord regularly, Habakkuk is at a point where he's having a crisis of faith. He still believes in the Lord, but his belief, his faith is wavering. He looks around at his city, at Jerusalem. He looks around at his country of Judah and all the people of God who are there, the people that he cares about greatly, and all he sees is violence. And he sees corruption. And he sees the king at hand is corrupt and he's not helping anything. He's bringing in false gods. He looks at the priests and the religious leaders around him, and they're no better. They're abusing their position. He looks at the general populace at hand, and nobody is caring for the weak or the poor around them. There's injustice everywhere, and he cries out to God because of this. How long, O Lord, before you save? How long before you do something about this? He cries out and he says, you're making me see all these things, but yet you act, O God, like you don't see them yourself. How long, O Lord, before you do something about this? Now, the dangerous thing about being a prophet in the Lord's city is that when you start talking to God, the danger is that God's going to start talking back. And after Habakkuk complains and laments before the Lord does just this. The Lord answers back to Habakkuk and tells Habakkuk that he in fact has seen all this violence. He has seen all the wickedness of his people and that God is going to do something about it. But he tells Habakkuk, you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to do something very surprising. You won't even believe it. And then God goes on to tell Habakkuk exactly what God is going to do. And what God's going to do in order to bring judgment upon his violent and wicked people, God's going to raise up and employ an even more violent and wicked people. God's plan is to raise up the Babylonians, who are the forthcoming superpower of the day, who are violent and terrible people. The scriptures tell us that they even worshiped their own might. They worshiped their own armies. They had no reverence for the people over whom they were conquering. And God tells Habakkuk, I'm going to use them as my tool of judgment and justice. And God's right. Habakkuk can't believe it. In fact, he tells God, God, you're too holy and too pure for such a thing. How can you use them? They're wicked people. Why would you use them as your own tool, as your own resource in this? You can't do this, Lord. And so after Habakkuk's second complaint, he paints this picture of him going out to the city wall. And he climbs up and finds a watchtower on the city, and he stands there and he looks out over the countryside and he tells the Lord, I'm going to wait here for your answer. It's as though he's waiting for a messenger from some forthcoming army to come and give a message. He's going to wait in faith for God's response to his complaints. He needs God's answer to his ultimate question, which is, how long, O Lord, are we going to go through this until you finally do something about it? How long shall I cry out and you will not hear? Have you ever asked God a question like that? How long before you do something about this? I suspect there's people in California going through the fires who are asking God that very thing. How long do we have to continue to endure these kind of things? Or maybe people in Anchorage, Alaska are asking that this morning as well. How long, O Lord, till you stop this kind of stuff? Or maybe you're a parent of a child at a Sandy Hook Elementary or Columbine or any one of the number of schools that have endured shootings. I mean, good grief, our own school in Winton, North Dakota went through a shooter drill themselves. How long, O Lord, before you come and do something about this? We see it, do you? Or maybe you've asked this question by a hospital bed. Or maybe when you're sitting in the ER or having a meeting at the lawyer's office or simply watching the nightly news. How long, O Lord? How come we can see this evil, but it feels like you can't? And as your pastor, I would love to give you a great answer. When I was finishing up my seminary training and I was at All True Hospital in Grand Forks, I was working there for about 11 weeks as a hospital chaplain, and I would sit some nights in the ER when I was on call for a 24-hour stretch or a three-day stretch, and I would the ER doctors wanted me to be there to sit with families, to keep them in the waiting room while they waited for their loved ones to go through all sorts of pain and torture and awful things. And I would have loved to give them an answer. But the reality is, I don't have it. I don't have it. God has answers. And he has answers for Habakkuk. And there's a warning here. There are times when this answer is going to feel really trite. And it's going to feel almost cliche. It's not the one we always want to hear, but it is the answer that God gives us. The answer God gives to Habakkuk is simply to wait, to trust, to have faith in God and God's word. He says this in chapter 2, verse 3. At the time I have decided, says the Lord, my words will come true. You can trust what I say about the future. It may take a long time, but keep on waiting. It will happen. Habakkuk has nothing but God's word and God's promise that God will see him through. He has nothing but the hope that God utters to him. And amazingly, that's enough. Habakkuk will see some awful things in his life. He'll see Jerusalem be overthrown by the Babylonians. He'll see the Babylonians come in and desecrate and destroy the beloved temple of the Lord. He'll see his people carried off into exile. Yet, he has the word of God to wait, to know that God is going to do something. Sometimes that's all we have as well. God's word and God's promise. And as I said, sometimes it's going to feel like it's not enough, like it's not enough of an answer. But it is what we have. And we live by faith in the Savior who forgives us, redeems us, restores us, and gives us a wonderful promise, a promise that we need to hear, and it's a promise that we celebrate this time of year, that he will return. Advent means coming. It means arrival. And the primary thing that we celebrate at Advent isn't the arrival of Jesus in the manger. It's the anticipation of Christ's final coming, his second arrival on this earth, when he will bring an end to all that is contrary to God's desires on this earth: pain, suffering, war, violence, sin, and of course, death. And sometimes all we can do is pray that the Lord returns quickly, and that the Lord will give us faith to trust in him. Faith while we wait for his return. Faith that he will do what his word tells us to do. You know, at Easter, we often will say this phrase, that Christ is risen, and then the congregation will respond, Christ is risen indeed, or he is risen indeed. I think during Advent we should start a new tradition. Maybe it's not new, maybe other churches do this, I don't know. Where I say, Christ is coming, to which you would respond, he is coming indeed. Let's try that. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, there is so much violence and so much evil in this world, so much to be afraid of, so much that we want answers for, but we just simply won't get them. Help us, O Lord, to have faith in you, to continue to bring our concerns for you, our desires for miracles to you, but to know that above all, that through Jesus we have your forgiveness, we have your redemption, and we have your promise that you will come one day and make it all right. Help us to have faith in this and in all things. We pray this in your name. Amen.